here in Simen Shin Tes Vav, Sif Ches, kind of says, discussing the Oel, Oel Mushpa. In the Gag of Tefach, the Pachas of Gibel, some of the Gag Rock of Tefach, Harith Oel arrive, Unsa Sadal Katil, the Shabbos Potter. So we discussed last time there's a din of Oel Kevo, which is this is the Raisa. What Kevo means isn't clear, it's a couple of days. But if you do it awry, you do it temporarily, find it taken down that same day, it would only be Isser Drabbanan. So in addition, the Chaver says the definition of an Oel is they have to have a Gag Tefach. But if it was very, very narrow, and there wasn't a tefach within the three tefachim, there's a din of lavud, so within the three tefachim of the top, if it doesn't reach out a tefach, it's like a teepee, very, very narrow teepee at the top, so then there's no roof, halachically speaking. If there's no roof, it's already, it's just mechitzos. Mechitzos would only be Isser Drabbanan, even if you did it bekeva. It wouldn't be a deraisa. It would still be Yasser. But, okay. That's just an important principle of a Gag Tefach. That's the definition. The Mishnah Berurah points out that the Bechavar sounds like the Ram is still Isser Drabbanan. Rashi actually sounds like it's Mutter Legamre. But there are people who got him thinks that Rashi might not hold that way. So, okay. There is a debate. Some hold it's actually Mutter. And it's not the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. So it's not as irrelevant. Tess. Yishmer Shetolin Osa L'teis V'Shemarim L'Sanin. So you have a barrel. On top of the barrel, you put a screen, and you pour in the wine to filter the wine. The wine has sediments. You want to distill the wine from the sediments.
Coffee.
Pardon?
This is how you make coffee.
That's how you make coffee, okay.
I think this is where they have to pour over coffee. This is like that.
There you have it, okay. Choshev Asiyas Oel. So here, again, I don't know if by coffee you have that reality, but here you have... You have a tefach under, you have a big barrel, so you could be a coffee also, I don't know how big the... So, Chashev Asiyas Oel V'Asol N'Tosa. You can't place the screen on top of the... Okay, I'm not sure, you know, part of the challenge of this simon is also the concepts are hard, also the metzias is hard, like just know exactly what they're saying, so it's always good to hear if there's something analogous, something similar, but okay.
You don't need a coffee, not... I feel like your coffee is not...
Right, I don't think that.
It's not like that. Like, we have that concept that has to be like a certain size, right? Like,
well, you need a tefach, so you can theoretically have a tefach on a tefach. I don't know if it's a tefach wide. It's not a tefach wide.
Right.
A tefach, it's usually it might be a tefach high, but it's not a tefach wide. Right.
I have a question about coffers also.
Oh, we're going to get to the end of the simon. Okay, fine. So this would be potentially an Isser. Yod, Talis Kfulosh, Hayu Ola Achutin Shahaisa Tluya Behen Me'er Shabbos. So you have some type of talis that has like a string on it that you're going to use it to open and close the talis. Mutl and Tosa, Mutl Lefarka V'chein HaParochas. So there's a debate how to understand this, but we had a concept we discussed previously that you're allowed to be Mosiv on Oel. If you have an Oel that already existed, you can make it, you can extend it. So the Chiddush here is that even though there wasn't a tefach, since there was like a string, it's also the kach. Just like it's not bona to open and close the door, because it's made that way. So too, if you had some type of oil that you always, like a skylight or something, so that would be permissible because you had the chutin, Me'er of Shabbos, that would be permissible. Now, I'm not 100% sure how to apply this. Again, a regular skylight is like kind of like a window, so I don't think there's even a shaila about it. Here, it seems like, and a regular skylight, you have an oil, you're just seeing mostly of an oil. Here, it seems like it doesn't have an oil. It's like it's a talus. So even though it's totally scrunched up, and it's less than oil, since like it's made that way, it would be mutter to open and close it on Shabbos. So again, I'm sure there are applications of this. I'm not 100% sure how to actually apply it. Right, that's the parochas. That's the next line, like the very end of the mechaber. V'chein parochas. The problem with this line is that at the very beginning of the simen, the Rama said it's mutter to put up a parochas. So again, you're right. If you have your Phoenician blinds or whatever you have, and you want to, so we hold that's mutter. But what's the chiddush? Though here's the Mechaber speaking, there was the Ramah. Maybe here the Mechaber agrees to the Ramah in this regard, that since you have these points, they're made that way, so Mela, it's not a problem of Ohel, but there's no roof here anyway. The Parochas doesn't have a roof, so if there's no, unless it's a Mechitza Materes, it's hard to know. Lachar Mechitza Materes would be Aser. Unless we're saying that since it was there before, yeah, I'm not 100% sure I'm clear on this, what the need of this is. Okay, I apologize, but let's continue. Kilas Chasanim, the rest of the seven is a little hard to relate to. The minhag was the Chasan would sleep in some type of bed without a cover on it. It was like a teepee. So again, we don't have a roof. Halakhically, there's no roof. Even though it ends at a very pointy top. If at the bottom it hangs down a tefach, then we look at the whole teepee part as the roof. Meaning, so long that it's just a teepee, so we say the sides of the teepee are walls. Walls without a roof, there's no problem. But if it hangs down over here, then I say this whole thing is the roof. Right? The whole triangle on top is the roof, and then you have a problem. But the principle is clear. You need a roof. You need a gag tefach for it to be problematic. Your base anota parochas yotzei b'tzarich lizar shel yasa o b'shasha notef. Two people are putting up, or one person rather is putting up a parochas. So the concern is, as you're putting it on, it's going to hang over. Let's say they're hooks. So the top is going to, like, you can't put it up directly straight up. You hang it over. You hang it over a tefach, then you have a wall and a roof, you'll already have an ol arai, that would be a problem. So that's why this is from the Rambam, and the Chaver Paskins it. Fiachim, parochas go, toli nosav shnayim, aval echar aser. It's aser to hang it with one person, because we're concerned you're going to make a wall and a roof as you're hanging it. Chazanish is very bothered by this, because you're holding it. It's not really an ohel at all. There seems to be a principle that if you hold something over yourself, you're walking outside in the rain, you can hold your coat over your head. We don't consider that to be a ohel. That's, of course, the whole problem with why we have an issue with an umbrella, because an umbrella you're holding also. But there seems to be a principle, because out of the Gemara and Shabbos, that holding it. So
I was going to say, this is exactly why. Every time you find one, you're like, exactly, our umbrellas have a problem because of this.
Right, so we follow, the Chazanish doesn't want to argue on the Ram, even though he doesn't understand it. He says, the Chavar Pasuk to one. So, for a simple understanding, this is a good reason why it doesn't really umbrella. The problem is, when everything's said and done, it's hard to know exactly how we apply it, because it seems to go against principles that we're familiar with. That appear elsewhere. Like I said, there is a double problem with learning the simanim or the sifim, both the facts in terms of the matzias and in terms of how to apply the halacha. The Mechaber continues here. V'im ha'isa kila sheyesh lagag in moskin osa afilu asara sheyesh shalotigva ma'at me'al ha'aretz ta'ase o'al arai. That if you have a kila, that has a gag, I mean, in contrast to the kila that we spoke about earlier, that didn't have a gag, right, against if Yud Aleph, here there is a gag. So once there's a gag, so you can't build it at all, because you're always going to be creating a reality, even if just for a moment, of an ohel, and therefore you can't be poreis akila if it has a gag on Shabbos. Okay, Yud Gimel. If you have a baguette, you're putting on a barrel, so it's a cover for a barrel. So the concern is that itself is an ohel. Hani Mili says Mechabek Shekuba, the kli is chaser tefach. There's a tefach in the between the food and the top of the barrel. There's a tefach. So this is an issue that Arye raised. You have a big pot. So can you put the cover on the pot? Why are you making an oil? We put the cover on the pot. So it seems to be clear that you're allowed to cover your pot on Shabbos. It seems that this din is limited to something that really looks like an oil. So a regular pot cover has a handle. If it's a handle, you see it's a handle of a pot. If it's a piece of tinfoil, let's say you have a very wide chalom pot, and you put tinfoil on it, and there's a tefach, then that would be potentially part of this issue. Well, Mr. Brill wonders if maybe it's only by wine, where you actually want the air, because it's supposed to water, you don't care about the air. But lemaisa, it doesn't come up very often. It has to be a very, very wide pot. Poskim speak about at least 50 centimeters wide, half a meter. Most of our pots aren't that wide. So if you're in an industrial kitchen and you don't have an actual pot, you're covering it with tinfoil, then this issue could come out. This kind of looks like an ohel, that you're covering a large area with something that looks like you're making an ohel on the top of the pot or the barrel, whatever it is, and therefore it should be avoided, but it doesn't come up in a normal
day-to-day.
I think that the fact that there's a lid on it shows that it can't be mistakenly confused with an ohel. Meaning, halakhically speaking, we don't consider it to be an ohel. It's just that it looks like an ohel. It only looks like an ohel if there's no top with no handle. That's, I think, how the post came and bring it down the mice. Okay, so again, there's obviously a lot more to do in this sim, and I apologize, we're doing it basically quickly. Let's move on now. Shimon Shin Tezayin, a much easier discussion, it's a different malacha, it's a malacha of tzad, but it's a much smaller malacha. So we know that there's an Isser Minatara, one of the longest malachas, to catch an animal on Shabbos. There are a number of principles, I just go over some of them. It has to be something that's b'mino nitzor, meaning people catch X, Y, and Z. If you live in a, it probably depends on the country. I mean, if you catch snakes, they want to use the snakes, the skin for, it's probably against the law in most countries. But if you live in India, you live in the Far East, you know, they catch animals to skin them, or they catch them to eat them. Whatever they're catching them for, it's b'mino nitzor. If it's something that most people don't catch in your area, so then you're really not going to enter the realm of Issa Doraisa. It seems to be a din of like kederach. It has to be kederko. And if it's not, people don't catch cats. You know, in Israel, the cats roam free. They don't catch them, so there's no Isser, even if you catch a cat. Now, in addition, you also have to catch it for a certain purpose. You have to catch it in order to use it. If you're catching it because you don't want it, you want to get rid of the cat, then it wouldn't be Lakshin Sukh Lagufu. So there are two requirements. One is that it's Mimino Nitzor, and B, that you're doing it for Tzirach Lagufa, as opposed to cat. People often catch things to get rid of them. You know, you catch a snake because you want to move it away. You catch rodents because you want to, you don't want them. So that would be Mlachashen Tzirach Lagufa. But the classic tzad is where you're interested in a shrimal, so you catch a fox and you make yourself a shrimal. So then if people catch foxes in your country, so that would be an iser of tzad. Usually, for us, in modern cities, we don't usually catch things to use them. Usually, we catch them to get rid of them. So if you catch a bug, you want to release it outside your house. You don't want it in your home. It's interesting that in this simon, the Mechaber also deals with the halachas of shochet, of killing the bugs, which is, sometimes it's easier just to kill the fly than to catch it and release it, even though, of course, it's more humane. There are people that say, Rabbi Yehuda Cook would never, I don't know what his wife thought about this, but he wouldn't kill the bugs. He would try to trap them and release them. He felt that, you can't, it's just not always so easy to trap them and to release them. Okay.
So would trapping it in order to get rid of it, do you consider it a gufa or not?
I don't think it's a gufa, because you're not planning on using it. In the Mishkan was to use it. Now, in terms of what trapping means, just in terms of the Hagdar, the actual Maisa, it seems to be that it has to be a significant amount of shlita over the animal. So if you would close the door and there's a fly in the room, so the fly is still free. You have, even if you close the door and there's a cat in the room, the cat is still free. It has to be, we'll see soon, shkiyachas. So you can fairly easily run and catch it without stopping, without a tremendous amount of ma'amat. Now, there's still midrabanan, there's still an iser to put a cat in a room because it's still some mildly trapped. And now, again, I'm not sure whether there's a certain point that's going to be totally mutter. To close the door and there's a fly in the room, I don't think anybody's going to say it's iser drabanan because it's not even mildly trapped. If you close the door to, a closet and there's a fly in the closet, you might say, okay, it's mildly trapped. It probably depends. It's a little hard to know what the exact gather is, but it's clear that there's a biber gadol, a biber katan. It's clear in the Gemara and Beitza that there is a din drabanan of partially trapping an animal, you still can't really have shlita over it. And then, but again, like I said, there's obviously another category where it's no issue whatsoever. If you bring a dog into China and there's a wall around China, we're not going to say, oh, it's issur rabbanan. It's heter gomer, right? Okay.
So just to clarify,
yeah.
Is it a shlita over the animal?
Yeah.
Let's just say, flying a big room would be
heter gomer.
Flying a closet would be derabana deraisa.
No, it's certainly not deraisa, because when you open the closet, you can't get to fly easily. You know, certainly not. So it would be a best drabana. I'm not sure even if a closet is drabana by a fly, because a teva would be a drabana by a fly. Flying a teva, you know, would be a drabana. Because you still won't get it at the first chance. You know, you might have to try six times till you get it.
And
a cop, right. A fly in a cop would be deraisa. Again, it wouldn't be deraisa unless you wanted to fly. But today, nobody wants to fly. Right? So it's a...
Like a firefighter.
You want a firefly. You want to, you know, okay, a special... Okay. Fine. So that's just a little hakdama. Let's move on. Sif Aleph Hatzad Tzipur Dror L'Mikdash U'Nitzor Bo. So you chase a bird into a closet. U'Shar Tziporim Tzfil Bayis. Or you chase a deer into a house, you know, a room. A deer in a room. O'L'Bibar Sh'U'Nitzorim B'Chayim. So a deer in a room like this, you know, how big is the room? The deer is, you know, pretty big, size of the table. So you can pretty much catch it with one, I don't really know, I've never tried it, but if it's something you can catch with fairly easily, that would be deraisa. The internet said, Potter al Azar. But if it's like, you know, you have a deer in the auditorium, so you can have a hard time catching it. So it might take you a few tries. So if only it's a drabana. Okay, fine. The Mishnah Berurah points out that if you have, let's say, a lion, so it has to be like in behind the bars, because even if it's not, you have to have shlita with the animal. The animal is just choosing to be there by its own volition. If it wants, it can get up and go away. It wouldn't be considered tzeda. You have to control the animal for it to be a considered tzeda. And likewise with a fish, you know, you take a fish and you put the fish in a small aquarium. So that would be deraisa. If you put the fish in a swimming pool, so that would be Isidrabanan fashtas. Yeah, again, how big, I don't know. If it was an Olympic-sized pool, maybe it wouldn't be even Drabanan. It's hard to know exactly what the exact gather is. Okay. I mean, I'm not sure if you really could catch a fish in an Olympic-sized aquarium. You might try all day, you're not gonna be successful. So then, you know, it could be that it wouldn't even be drabana.
I think it depends more on the tools that you have to catch the fish.
You're saying if you have a lot of nets, even if it's a big aquarium, you'll eventually, you know...
I'm also wondering about, like, if you're an expert hunter, so then you could get the animal in any...
Yeah, if you have a gun. No, but that's not, I don't think that really... I mean,
no, like, you have a fish in a tiny little aquarium. If you're just using your bare hands, you're not going to be able to get it, you know?
Uh-huh. Is that right? You have fish in a small aquarium?
I'm just guessing.
Right. I hear what you're saying. Okay, I'm not exactly sure how to apply it, but these are the principles out there. Fine. Beis. Hatzad Tzvi Yashin Asum Achayev. So this is interesting halacha. The animal is sleeping. But we know the animals have like a certain instincts. Even when they're sleeping, you know, they kind of feel your presence, so they're going to run away. So that would be a chayiv, or even a blind animal. But cholo zaking pata, if the animal is limping, the animal is sick, the animal can't really run, so we say minatara, it's nisut v'omid. Minatara, the animal has already been caught, which is an interesting halacha. What about a slow-moving animal? So this is an interesting machlokes achronim. Shlomo Zalman said the same thing is true about a snail. Catch a snail, the snail's not moving anywhere. It's nisut v'omid. And if there's no iser, minatara, to catch the snail. Others disagree. There's actually an interesting discussion of those word cheles, because the chilazim is a snail. And there's a discussion about catching a chilazim in Shabbos and how that's iser. So how would Rosh Hashanah work with that? So there's an interesting... Is that a riot that our chilazim isn't really the real chilazim? It's hard to imagine. I mean, you have to catch it, you have to go with a snorkel and go down at the bottom of the sea. So even though it might not be moving very fast, it still might be considered an act of Tzedek, and that he requires a lot of, as we were mentioning before, in terms of your equipment, in terms of how you, that also might be part of the factor. Even though it's a slow moving animal, it could be that, okay, fine. Anyway, Lemaisa, we have over here an interesting halacha that an animal that's already nitzar v'omed, a sick animal or an old animal, is not considered to be an iser of tzad. As you mentioned, likewise, if the hunter is old, let's say you're an old person, you don't really have, and you caught something, but the animal can get away. So I don't get away. It's not tzar either. Meaning it has to be that you control the animal. You created shlita over
that.
Midaraita. It's still midaraita. And now there's a fascinating Ramah here. Hamishas kelav achar chaya v'shavis havit seida. V'yishomi afuchol osu lo tzubeklavi mishum moshav leitzim. Okay, the second part of the Ramah, you know, is interesting. It says you shouldn't be running around with dogs trying to, you know, hunt. You know, it's a moshav leitzim. Obviously, this is just for fun. If it's your business, so you're allowed to, you know, if you need to eat, you have to catch animals to eat them, you're allowed to do that. There's a famous note of Yehuda who discusses this issue where he was asked if you're allowed to go hunting for fun. And he says, you know, it's technically it's not really baltashkes, it's not really, but lemaisa, you know, it's not something like chayim. But he didn't think it was like it's a Jewish thing to do. It's like Esav is a hunter. So, okay, it's an interesting thing. But the more interesting part of the Ramah is the beginning where he says that if you have a dog and you direct the dog to hunt, you violate Seda. Now, what have you done? You essentially directed the dog. So, did you do anything? So, here, there's a distinction made.
Hunting is trapping?
Yeah, I mean.
The dog is
going to catch the animal. Dog is gonna. So again, if you're
dog, dog, you might also just kill the animal. Right? Like, how do you even know the dog's gonna do
it? Well, I guess you train your dog. If you want to shecht it, if you kill the tzvi, you're not gonna help it so much. It scares it. So it seems like sometimes people work with the dogs. Like they come from the north and the dog comes from the south and they kind of like work together. Then it might be doraisa. That's what Mishabura says, which is interesting because you're not doing it solely by yourself. You're somehow harnessing it, just like when you plow a field, you don't plow with your shoulders. You use the donkey or the animal to help you plow. So you're harnessing the koach of the animal. So here you're harnessing the koach of the animal to help you hunt. But if, let's say, you just had sikkim and you're just sitting on your, you know, on the lawn chair and you have the dog, so that l'chor can only be drabanan. Again, there is a precedent of zore, you know, with the ruach, where you throw up the wheat and the wind takes away the chaff. So that's the question: is that like only by there, or is it something we can apply elsewhere? Anyway, the major mishum represents it is if you were involved in the actual chase and you just had the dog help you, that would be the raisa. Whereas if you were totally passive and you just sent the dog, that would be a isur drabanan. But this is an interesting application, mostly for like the klalim of the malachas and things like that in terms of harnessing, etc. Okay. Let's move on to Sif Gimel. Kol shebemino nitzor chayev alav. Ein minu nitzor pater aval asur. This is a principle I mentioned earlier, that you're only chayev if it's something that people generally trap. If it's not an animal that's generally trapped, it would be considered l'shalakadera, it could be pater. Hilka, k'zvuvim, afal pi she'ein, bemino nitzor asur l'tzudan. So there's still an issue Rabbanan to catch a fly. Even those times, people don't like flies. And if you catch a fly, it would be Isser Drabanan, it would probably be a double Drabanan, because it's Enu Minu Nitzar. And additionally, today, people don't want to use the flies. They usually are trapping them to get rid of them, so the Makashin Tzuchel Gufa would be a double Drabanan. It's still Isser, but it's a double Drabanan. Here, there's a Rama who says you should be careful when you close a teva. You have some type of box. You have to make sure there's no flies in it. There's a psik reshe that you're gonna catch the flies. Yeah.
Can you say if there's like, let's say like a really disturbing fly or like a bee in the room, it's really like making you feel not possible. It's shvi mark
mitzvah. Oh, we're gonna discuss that a little bit later. In hopefully this time if we have time, the discussion of tsar. And what type of tzar counts? Is it something that's going to like, give you a sting or just annoying you? But there's a distinction between that. It could be have a stinging you, might be different than just annoying you. But let's hold off for a second.
It's commonly trapped for itself.
Yes.
People might trap bees all the time, but that doesn't matter because they're not trapping them for
that. Right. You have to trap it for to use it, not to get rid of it.
And that's a requirement for both minonites and
Moshe. Yeah, so that's what I think is double drabanan. That's a good requirement. Okay. Now this v'yesh mekel makom she'im yiftach hakli she'yutla misham yivarchu. So says the Rama that if you close the teva, but there is a bee in it or a fly in it, and you open it, it could be you won't be able to catch it. Meaning the flies are pretty fast, right? And depending on the you close the garbage can, there's a fly in the garbage can. You open the garbage can, fly's going to fly around. What are the chances you're going to be able to catch it? Very, very slim. So therefore, maybe you can be mekel. Now, this generated a lot of discussion. The reason this generated a lot of discussion is because the question of the heter of closing, here they're not discussing a situation where you know there's a fly there. What happens? It's a psik reishet sheyetzu dushan. You're closing the garbage, see there's a fly there, and you close it anyway. So there's a lot. Don't close the garbage can if you know there's a fly there. And then the Yeshorim say that it could be that it's okay because even when you open the garbage, you can't really catch the fly, so it's not really considered trapped at all, and therefore it would be okay. Now, the Taz has a discussion about checking if there are flies in the garbage. Let's say you don't know if there are flies. So some Achronim say if you don't know if there are flies, you have to check. You have to get rid of them. And the Taz says, and Mishur passes this way, that you don't have to check. There's a hat there of Adar Shein Miskavin V'makam Sofek Psik Reisha L'Avar. When I say Sofek Psik Reisha L'Avar, I just want to clarify what I mean by that. When I'm pulling a bench, and it rained yesterday, I'm not sure will the bench make a furrow, you know, Charetz, will have a violation of Isser of Choresh. So if it's very wet, so it's Psik Reisha, it's Aser. If it's not so wet, so we say, listen, you don't know, it's not Psik Reisha, Adar Shein Miskavin, it's Mutter, right? That's the classic case of Adar Shein Miskavin. Now, there you don't really know what's going to be. You know, here, you didn't check if there's a fly in the garbage. You could check, you didn't check. So do I say, well, I don't have to check, because even if there's a fly, I'm not really interested in it. I say, what do you mean? Right now, you can find out. Right now, there's a way. Now it's true, if you're a physicist, you might be able to figure out based on the, you know, the moisture in the gland, you know, if it's going to make, like most normal people, you just see a bench, you see ground, you don't know. It's not something you can, it's not like, it's a way of the ability to ascertain whether it's going to make a furrow is very difficult, as opposed to just opening your eyes and seeing if there's a fly. So the some acronyms say that no, this doesn't, you can't apply the heter in this case. This is very nogea halacha l'maisa for a person who has a fridge and you don't remember if you turned off the light. I'm told now they sell fridges that have, like, you know, a timer for the next 30 years. Shabbos, Yontif, you're always covered. You don't have to think about it. But once upon a time, you know, even the fridge I have at home today, you know, you turn off the fridge light on a Friday afternoon and you turn it back on Wednesday Shabbos. So the question becomes, I don't remember if I turned off the light. And it happens to me that my fridge, you can tell by the outside. There's like a little screen. But like once upon a time, you couldn't tell. So I don't remember. Can I say that you can open the fridge because the fridge light is off. Maybe it's on. So someone applied this Taz to say that she mutter to open the fridge. Why? Because the Taz says, you're not sure if there's a fly or not. So we say, close the thing. It's Safek Psikreshe L'Sha'avar. L'Sha'avar, what happened in history. You don't know if there is a fly, you don't know if you turn off the light. And others say, no, you can't rely on that. Because we say we argue on the Taz. Even if you agree to the Taz, it's not so clear that you can apply it to the fridge. Why? For two reasons. One, it might be considered nichale here in this case, because you want the light in the fridge. It makes it easier to get things from the back of the fridge. You know, to say that it's not nichale, it's like the chiddush
says. What if the light is on the room, though?
Pardon?
What if the light is on the room?
Right, but even light in the room doesn't always get to the back of the fridge. The reason they have fridge lights isn't just because people don't turn the lights on the room. The fridge, my home, whenever I'm in the kitchen, the light is on. And yet, there's still a fridge light because it illuminates the back of the fridge. So, you know, you can't say it's really, you know, lonichle. It's hard to imagine lonichle. You know, I don't think
is
it only put in...
Light?
But it is echbe. People change the lights when they burn up. Why?
I don't care right now.
See, I don't care.
What? Follow that though.
I'm not sure. I mean, I heard people make this argument as lo nichale, lo ichwasle, but I'm not so sure if it's so true. But the second argument that the Achronim make is that they say that, listen, when the fridge is made this way, so when you open up the door, you're actually turning on the light. You're doing two things at once. You're turning on a light. So to say that it's like, it's not when I'm pulling a bench, I'm pulling a bench. You know, and okay, if it rained and there's enough moisture in the ground, it's going to make a charetz. But that you can say that's really a separate action. It's davar shein miskaven, and it's not, you know. But here it's more. It was made that way, and therefore you could argue that it's actually a more direct act. In any case, I'm not sure how relevant it is. I mean, it probably is. I mean, most people don't use fancy timers anymore. But as soon as it's becoming a new thing now, people are going to use fancy timers. You know, I was wondering if they're going to like also get the Rabbeinu Tam timers and like, you know, the end of Shein Shel Galus in Israel for people keep 2 days. You know,
the first
timers
are
Rabbeinu Tam
timers.
The Rabbeinu Tam timers. Okay, let's just keep. That's because they don't have to like, you know, they keep it simple. But so the Grus has a timer on all fridges. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Okay, that's cool.
At least,
okay, so but this timer has like Yontif built in, like for the next 30 years. Yontifs, like Yontifs are. That's what's cool about these timers. So I was wondering if they'd sell them for Yontif Sheni in Israel. That's like either they kach or like, you know. Anyway, fine. Yeah.
Humans say that Sikresha Amar is just like Davar Shabbos. It's like
the Taz seems to say that. Yeah.
And then it's a question of. There's two questions: whether we pass in that, and then whether we.
Exactly.
What's the bottom line?
I think people, the Mishnah Berurah relies on Sikrei Shel Davar. He relies on it. Whether or not to apply to fridges might be a separate question, but I think people even make a lot of fridges. You know, the problem is if your fridge, you're stuck, because if you open it and light is on, what are you going to do? You're not allowed to close it.
So
it might just make sense to get a goy from the Chatkila. Why should I get a goy? You have a 50% chance I turned it off. You know, so I'm going to get a goy. It's hard. It's embarrassing. It's annoying. I remember I lived in America and I got a goy. Even here in Israel, I got a goy. There's Filipino workers who work, you know, help older people. So on my fridge, I see on the front if I didn't turn it off. So it happened. You know, I've been living with this fridge, I think, for 7-8 years. One time I forgot and I got somebody to help me. I mean, it wasn't the end of the world. It's not.
Please explain the meaning of the concept of Sikresha Lisha Amar, meaning what was in the past?
The whether or not there are bugs in the box is something that already happened. It's just a reality. It's a reality. As opposed to now, you could argue again, if you're a physicist, you're a scientist, you say, well, whether there's moisture in the ground, it's also a fact. But that's not how we look at it. I don't think, you know, we look at the ground. It's ground. Will it happen? Won't happen? We don't know. But here, we know. You could know if there are bugs if you look. The question is, are you obligated to look? That's the question. Okay. So again, there are a lot of applications of bugs. You know, a modern application is screens. Most people have screens on their windows these days. So on the window, you see this fly trying to get out. So what do? So many people just close the window. You don't want the bug to come inside. So if there's a way for this bug to get out, great. But if the bug is stuck there, that's a problem. Because then you essentially trap the bug. It's a drabanan. So it might sound it's annoying. You see a bee, you got very nervous. You want to, you know, trap the bee. It's not so pashut. We'll see soon in terms of it's dangerous, etc. But a fly is not dangerous. A fly is just annoying. So it's like big black flies. Like, they're super annoying. So, okay, the air conditioning's on. So I'll close the window. Or even if it's not, I'd rather have it a little hot and not have the fly. That's a problem. Okay. Sometimes you can play around with the screen in such a way that the fly will have a way out. If the screen is stuck there, then it's a problem. Fine. Okay, let's see if we can get a little more. Porsi machzelis lagavi kaveres makom sheviskansim bo dvorim lasus dvash. So you have a beehive. You're allowed to put a machzelis, some type of sheet on top of the beehive. Eventually, you have in latzur. The gamhu beinian sheinam mukrach shiu nisodim. This is like I said a second ago. You're allowed to protect the beehive, let's say, from the rain. So you're not interested in trapping the bees. You want to protect the bees. And the bees could get out. You didn't make it airtight or bee-tight. If it's bee-tight, you put it down. You put it down very tightly. You put an elastic band around the sheet. Then it would be a problem because then you're essentially trapping the bees. The Mishnah Berurah points out in general that placing a trap on Shabbos is usur, but it might only be usur drabanan. If you place a trap and immediately an animal goes in, that would be like it's to be trapped. But if a person just lays a trap out, and then an hour later an animal comes, that's usur, it's usur drabanan. Because you're not actually trapping it, it's kind of like a grama. You laid the trap for the mouse, and the mouse came an hour later. And the postgame discuss here, the halacha of, you know, spraying poison. You know, you have an ant issue, or you have some other infestation. So it's this parallel issue. If you would spray the raid on the fly, that would be an iser. You're actually killing it biyadayim. But if you spray the corner, and then the animals will come and they'll die later. So it's a parallel to the trapping, where it would only be a drabanan. You know, again, it's only drabanan anyway because nobody wants to use the flies they kill. But it'd still be usur midrabanan to put poison out on Shabbos if the animals will come later. So if you want to put poison out erev Shabbos, that's okay. Again, I'm not going to get involved in whether or not it's a good thing to do, a bad thing to do. Some people have strong feelings about animal rights and things like that. So if humans also need rights, right? You can't only have animals.
The health risks.
The health risks, right? Right. My wife is concerned about that too. You never know. So we all our things are organic. You know, organic soaps, organic.
Organic poison.
Organic poison. I don't know. We think I would live in second floor, so we don't have so many bugs. But the truth is, my wife doesn't like it. What we do for ants is fix vapor rub. Ants hate fix vapor rub.
Uh-huh.
So we stop off the holes with fix vapor rub. There's no poison, and the ants go away. But there's also cinnamon. Cinnamon works. Yeah, my wife is like that too. You're right. I didn't think about that. We don't have any of those other things. More for health reasons. Not for. Okay.
Unless you can put a mouse trap before Shabbos?
You can put a mouse before Shabbos. It's not on Shabbos. It's like Kalish. She does Kalish. Most of the shoes is Kalish. Okay. There are discussions, halakhic discussions about mouse traps because there are different types. You know, if you have a mouse trap that, like, it's a glue and the animal, like, gets stuck and, like, starves to death, or you have ones that kill the animal very quickly, you know, efficiently, it's less tarvalikayim. And then there are ones that actually just trap the animal and you let the mouse out so he can come back tomorrow. You know, so some people think that's, like, the most muhudr, you know, that you don't kill it at all. Okay. I mean, there are different shittas about this. I know that in our sukkah we have a lot of ants. And my wife is into the cinnamon, but this year we got a neighbor who a new neighbor moved in, and he was like putting raid around the sukkah the whole like Arab Shabbos. So it bothered me. My wife didn't see it, but this usually the cinnamon doesn't work very well. But this year for Shabbat Hashem, the cinnamon works very well. I'm not sure why, but I think it's probably connected to the neighbor who used the raid. So okay, fine. Let's continue. I should mention, in terms of closing the door of this of the teva, so this is a big issue when you feed animals. Let's say you have birds. You open up the cage and you put in food. It's wonderful. It's a mitzvah to feed the animals before you eat. The problem is that there's a potential tzad issue, because if the animal is an animal that isn't mekabel maros, it's not the animal that really, like a bird isn't trained, it's going to fly out. So how do you close the door to the cage after you opened it? So the post is going to say, in this case, you should open it only enough to have your hand there, or to block it with your other hand or your body, in as much as it should never be opened and be able to free, and then you're going to close it. The same issue if you have a dog that you're training, a new dog, puppy. So the puppy often isn't trained, it's going to want to run away. So you open the door when you go to shul, then you close it, you have a problem. So you have to open the door just enough to get yourself out, and therefore it really, you haven't really, you're blocking the door as you leave.
But it's a door, meaning you said the big room is not going to be an issue. Right?
So it'll still be issur drabanan. For a dog in a room, usually, you know, you can catch it eventually. I mean, it's not like a...
Well, so any dog that can run out of the house, if there's a concern that's going to run out of the house, we should be...
Like, just any dog is not trained.
Most dogs are trained, I think. That's my understanding. But there are dogs that are, you know, fresh, you know, new dogs that aren't trained. So then there's an issue, a potential thought issue, by opening the door and closing it. Because when it's opened, it's essentially free to run. And by closing the door, you're causing it to be nitzar. That's my understanding. I don't have a dog.
In my experience, my in-laws have three dogs.
Yeah?
They're
trained, but they...
Trained.
No, but even if they run away, they'll come back. Meaning, right. I think that animal... This is the end of the seminar. I don't think we'll get there today. You have to leave soon, right? So we'll talk in a few minutes. But if the animal is an animal that is mekabel maros, so even runs away, you call it, it comes back, then it's not... There's no iser tzar. The issue is if the animal is going to run away, it's going to run away, like a puppy. So then this issue does apply. okay. Hey... This is a principle of Shtaim Shasua. If you have an animal wandering into the house, so one person closes the door, that's Issur D'oraisa. If two people close the door, all you need is one person to close the door. It's a light door, a normal door. One, two people do it. There's a principle in Hilchos Shabbos, Shtaim Shasua, is Issur D'rabbanan. But ein echad yochel linol finalu shneim chayavim. But if it's a huge door that you know your mansion and you can't move it, you need two people to move it, then it would be already a chayav. V'im pesach kvar mekufach mutar linalu v'manol. So the Ramah adds on that if the door is closed, it's just not locked, the animal's not going to know how to open up the handle of the door. So the fact that you're locking it, that's not an issue. You haven't really added anything to the seder. The animal is nitzor. You're making it now more shamur. You're making it more protected. But fundamentally, the animal is nitzor, and therefore there's no iser in this circumstance. Let's see if we can do one more. Sif. Vav yashav echad al pesach umilal yachal asheni leishi v'tzidav. Very interesting. Halacha, a person, the animal's in the room, and you sit there by the door. So you essentially cause the animal to be stuck into the room. Again, I don't know if it's necessarily an iser if it's in a house. Meaning, that if the animal could have roomed between the three rooms in the house, now it's stuck in one room, it might not be really more of an iser, because it could be even in one room, it's not really nitzor, or maybe it was nitzor depending on the reality. Meaning, but let's say you have a house and you sit at the front of the house. So that's certainly an iser, at least iser rabbanan, maybe iser derisa. If it's a large animal, iser derisa. The animal is now, you know, easily caught in the house. Somebody else comes and sits next to you. And now, the first guy gets up and goes away. So what's the halacha? You, when you sat down, the second fellow, you haven't added anything. It was very nitzar. Now the first guy stands up and walks away. So you're passively violating tzar. But the halacha is you're not violating anything. Because when you sat down, you it was really nitzar. Again, Reuven sits at the door, he violated tzar. Shimon comes, sits next to him. It's mutter, he hasn't added anything. Reuven gets up and walks away. So Shimon isn't really adding anything.
This is like
mitasek. It's not even mitasek because we do a malacha, but mitasek. You're in the middle of the night, you turn on the light. Here, it's not even defined as a malacha, you're just sitting down.
But in the end, you are fulfilling the purpose. I mean, the tzitzah of the malacha is being done by you in the end.
But it sounds like your act wasn't the act. The malacha is the malacha. The isra is the isra maase. And since you're passive in your sitting, and when you sat down, it was a heter gomor, so you have no obligation to stand up and move away. You got to leave your inside. Yashav echad al pesach umilal yachal hasheni leishi v'tzidav. V'afilu v'ad rishon v'halach lo hasheni potur umutur. It's mutter. So you're asking, why isn't that misasik? So like I said, I don't think misasik is when you do a malacha, you do a maisa for misasik. Here you're not even doing a maisa, you're just sitting. And sitting is passive, and therefore you know, it's not included in the iser at all. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up next week. B'li neder.